It is a huge joy to be with you today. Guys, thanks for leading us in worship. Todd Brady, Taylor and Anna Worley, dear friends of mine, so grateful to get to be with you guys here. And many of you guys that joined us in the spring, it's good to see you guys again. And I wanted to attend Union University. Couldn't figure out how to pay for it, and I wasn't good enough to play on the baseball team here. Any baseball players in the house? Anybody? Slackers. Oh, there you are. All right, so I wasn't good enough to hang with the Union team. Is Coach Rushing still here? Yeah, he's still coach? That's amazing. And so I went to UT Martin, which was Division I, but you guys beat us pretty bad back then, even then. We're in Mark chapter 1 this morning. I'd love for you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. And I would assume that most of you here this morning are followers of Jesus. But that's not always a safe assumption, is it? And more than that, what I want to know for my own personal life is not do I think I'm a follower of Jesus, but does Jesus think I'm a follower of Jesus? And so that's what we're going to be talking about in Mark chapter 1 this morning. Mark chapter 1, we're just going to read the text and dig in. You guys ready? You ready to go for this? Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Let's read the text and we'll get going. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, Mark chapter 1, verse 16. He saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would speak to us in a fresh way from your word. We pray you'd be gracious to us, Lord, that we may receive it with joy and we may respond to it, God, with enthusiastic obedience, with sincere faith. So help us now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want us to go through about four or five observations from this text, and the first one is really exciting, and I want you to see it with me. The first observation as we consider this, does Jesus consider us a follower of Jesus, is this great truth, is that Jesus is interested in ordinary people. Jesus wants ordinary people. Jesus chooses ordinary people. Look at it with me in the first verse we're looking at, verse 16, passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. A very common, unimpressive vocation of the day. And I don't know, when I watch some of those fishing shows on TV, I think it's probably pretty impressive. But this was a very common vocation, generally unimpressive in this day and time. Ordinary people. This is really good news. Now, I know that there's people here that have accomplished extraordinary things. I know we could go around the room and many of you could just stand up and just rattle off all of the extraordinary things that you've accomplished. But I think most of you are probably like me that it doesn't matter what you've accomplished. When you look in the mirror every day, you have this sense of ordinariness. That reality that we're made from dust, it rings true at the end of the day. There's nothing that'll make you feel ordinary like living in New York City. 22 plus million people in the New York metro area. Just a sea, an ocean of people doing their thing will make you feel pretty ordinary. This is good news. Listen, dear friends, this morning, Jesus is interested. He passionately wants. He chooses ordinary people. And this is so exciting. My two sisters were in women's fraternities. And do I have anybody in a women's fraternity this morning? You guys are a little timid or nobody. Well, so they were in Chi Omega. Any Chios in the house? Okay, so I won't do the chant or anything, but they were very quick to remind me anytime I referred to Chi Omega as a sorority, it's not a sorority. It's a women's fraternity. So let's not get it wrong on campus here, right? I don't really know what all the other groups are. I just know what my sisters were, and they were in a women's fraternity. Rumor has it, Rush Week is this week for some of you. Is that true? So some of you might not know what's going on with Rush Week, but it's a really interesting phenomena. And I'm glad I played baseball because I just didn't have to go through Rush Week. But so many of you will resonate and understand about what I'm about to talk about. But literally, you go through this process, and it's kind of weird, but it's kind of cool. I don't really know how to describe it. But you go through this process where you drop into these different women's fraternities or fraternities or sororities, and you're kind of asking yourself the question, are they going to like me? Am I going to be accepted? Am I going to fit? Is this the right fit? Do I fit with them? Do they fit with me? Do you know this? I mean, some of you are like seniors and you're like, oh yes, I'm so glad I don't have to go through Rush again. You know, it's just like this one-time deal. And it's so much pressure. So when my sister told me this story about a girl who went through Rush at Austin Peay State University, where they went down in Clarksville, Tennessee, it's where I grew up, and she literally had a nervous breakdown going through Rush because the pressure was so great of, I'm with this group tonight, I'm with this other group now, and are they gonna want me? The good news is Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah King, he wants you. He wants you. And you don't have to impress him. This is good news. It's no slam on like the Greek organizations. It's just a celebration that Jesus, the one we sang to, the one we worship, he zealously wants us. He's interested in ordinary people. You don't have to have cool clothes. You don't have to come from a wealthy family. You don't have to make like stellar grades, although that's great. Jesus wants you. He's interested in you. He's interested in ordinary people, and he chooses ordinary people. This is at the beginning of Mark's gospel, and it's just a little small text. Mark just gives us a tiny snapshot, and he wants us to see some very clear things in the text. And the first thing that I think he wants us to see is that Jesus is interested in ordinary people. Let's celebrate that this morning. Let's let that stir our hearts. It's a really interesting scene, isn't it? Jesus is seeking them. Typically in this day, students would have sought their own rabbis, but he's no mere rabbi, is he? He's the Son of God. That's what makes this next scene so stunning, this next observation so stunning, is that Jesus calls us into fellowship with himself. Look at verse 17 with me. And Jesus said to them, follow me. I'll just pause there just for a moment. Follow me. I think typically, like when I read through this and I see Jesus saying, follow me, the first thing that immediately comes to my mind is obey Jesus. And maybe that's what comes to your mind. If I asked you, what does it mean when Jesus says, follow me? I would guess that many of us this morning would say, well, it means that we should obey Jesus and do what he says. But we've got to enter into the narrative. We've got to put ourselves in the disciples' shoes and imagine, what were the disciples hearing Jesus say in this moment? And when Jesus was saying, follow me, the disciples were hearing him say, come be with me. Not stand from afar and obey me, but literally come and be in my presence. And so the second observation, as we consider, am I a follower of Jesus? Does Jesus consider me a follower of Jesus? Is that Jesus first calls us into fellowship with himself. He calls us into an intimate relationship with himself. And it's really easy sometimes to mistake fellowship for other things. Here at Union University, it's just an incredible school saturated with Christian stuff. And your life can be totally saturated with Christian stuff, and yet you not be enjoying fellowship with Jesus. So let's just talk about it. What is fellowship not? Well, fellowship is not reading books about Jesus. That's not fellowship with Jesus. Fellowship is not singing songs about Jesus, though fellowship could be singing songs to Jesus, right? It's not singing songs about Jesus. Fellowship with Jesus is not leading a small group. Fellowship with Jesus is not necessarily coming to chapel. You could roll into chapel and you could just kind of sit disconnected and not really even fellowship with Jesus. Your life could be filled, our lives could be filled with all kinds of stuff that's Christian stuff, but at the end of the day isn't fellowship with Jesus. Our life could be saturated with spending time with other Christians and yet not with Jesus. So what is fellowship? It's being with him. It's spending time with him. It's listening to him. It's walking with Jesus. And Jesus' call to us isn't like this one-time meetup, right? Just come and meet up with Jesus one time. But it's this ongoing daily relationship that he's calling us to, this rich fellowship that requires time and effort. That's what he was calling these first disciples to. And so essentially what we're saying here is that everybody around you might consider you a follower of Jesus. But if you're not engaging in fellowship with Jesus, Jesus wouldn't consider you a follower of Jesus. Don't you want to be a follower of Jesus? Don't you want to really follow Jesus? I mean, the first step, The first observation we see here, other than he's interested in ordinary people, is Jesus calls us into fellowship with himself. And then what happens when we engage in fellowship with Jesus? When we answer that call to engage in intimate relationship with Jesus, Jesus then sends us out on mission with Jesus and for Jesus. Look at that with me in verse 17. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." It's a promise. This is really encouraging to me because a lot of times we feel like we've got to kind of stir up a passion for the lost. But Jesus is making us a promise here. He's saying, spend time with me and I'll give you a passion for the lost. You spend time with me and he says, I will make you become a fisher of men. And these guys were fishing for fish. But he's saying, I'm gonna make you passionate about seeing men become believers in me, seeing other men become followers of me. I'm gonna make you become evangelists that get out there and tell people the good news about me. Jesus sends us out on his mission. This is an awesome promise. Our story, we were pastoring our church in Tennessee, our home church. We were serving as a preaching pastor there at our home church. And we were walking with Jesus. And we couldn't get away from what God had stirred in our hearts back in 2004. And we reached out to our friends in New York City. And in 2008, we moved. We sold everything we had. And we moved to New York City. What gripped our hearts was the strategic nature of New York City and God's global purposes. I mean, for me, it was kind of like a distant Disneyland, you know. It was like the Yankees play there. And Broadway is there. But in 2004, when I was on the ground just for 13 weeks doing an internship in New York City, my eyes were opened to the masses of millions of people that live there that God loves. And he sent us on mission to New York City to go to a challenging place. City Center Manhattan is 3% evangelical. It's a dark place. And that's where Jesus loves to send his people, and we've seen God do amazing things. We've been able to plant two churches out of Gallery Church, which itself is a new church plant. It's amazing what God is doing and what God does when we respond to him. It's my hope that you'll join us, perhaps on a go trip in New York City. It's crazy when you think about it. There's 66,000 people that live per square mile in Manhattan. It's incredible. There's 30,000 people that live in my apartment complex alone. All you have to do is go out the front door to see thousands of people that God loves. And it's my hope that you'll come and you'll join us there. Listen to this. There's over 800 language groups represented in New York City that live in the New York metro area. I mean, can you imagine if Jesus, after he gave the Great Commission, he said, oh, by the way, about a 5 days journey this way, there's a city where 800 of those nations I just commissioned you to make disciples of, they live in that city. And you have to cross two dangerous rivers to get there, but there, I think the disciples would have made a beeline. I think they would have given their lives to make it to that city. And so that's what we concluded was the most strategic place we could plant our lives to be sent on mission for Jesus was to go to New York City. But the reality is you guys, is we can have a passion for the nations and not have a passion for our neighborhood. You can... And this may be a real challenge here at Union. You're going to have to get off campus sometimes to be on mission for Jesus, aren't you? I'll never forget, I had a buddy who went to Union, and he came and led music at a retreat I was speaking at. He's a dear friend, and we got on one of those ski lifts. It was a ski retreat, and we got on one of those ski lifts, and it was like one of those deals where we had like 5 minutes, like it was a long ski lift up to the top, and We engaged this guy. It was me, him, and this total stranger. And we're riding up this ski lift. And we're talking to him about the Lord. And we get to hear what he thinks. And we're talking to him. It's amazing. And then he gets off on this one drop. And we keep going. And my buddy, who went to Union, this is what he said immediately. He said, wow, we talked about guys like him in class. And I thought, wow, I talk to guys like him every day. At the state school that I went to. I consider it an enormous privilege for you to be at Union University. Stellar, incredible school. And you will probably be encouraged and facilitated into sweet, rich fellowship with Jesus here. But you can't spend time with Jesus without being sent out on mission for Jesus, and so Jackson should be different as a result of Union University being here. You guys should just be being sent out all over the city. And so what is it for you? Is it an after-school program over on the other side of town? Is it a YMCA after school program? In New York, we're starting a Young Life to underprivileged teens. We've partnered with medical clinics. Fellow, when we engage in fellowship with Jesus, he sends us out on mission. We can't have a heart for the nations without having a heart for the neighborhood. And so it's my hope that if you come on a go trip to New York City, it's not the first time that you're engaging in mission. But you're engaging in mission all throughout the year. And you come to us experienced fishers of men when you hit the ground in New York City with us. One of the last observations that we see in this text, Jesus, he calls us to fellowship, he sends us out on mission, and then following Jesus, it requires sacrifice. But look at this with me in verse 18. And immediately they, that's Simon and Andrew, they left their nets and they followed him. They left their nets. Now, I don't think that they were leaving their vocation as fishermen, because we'd see later in the Gospels the disciples fishing. But I do think that in that moment they were leaving something that was a great, valuable means of wealth to them. They were leaving valuable possessions, their nets, which would have caught them fish, which would have made them lots of money. In that moment, they left valuable possessions. But let's read on in verse 19 and 20. And going a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. Verse 20, and immediately he called them, and look at this, they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired servants, and they followed him. Again, Mark could have described a dozen things, but he gives us this, that they left their father. He wanted us to know that following Jesus requires sacrifice, and I'm afraid that term sacrifice, it's just dissolved out of our vocabulary as Christians. It's dissolved out of our vocabulary in the church, this idea of sacrifice, and yet it is a central theme all throughout Scripture, isn't it? As we read the Old Testament, we see that's how God's people related to God through a sacrificial system, and then Jesus comes, and he goes to the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. He dies in our place as a sacrifice. He rises from the dead to give us new life to everyone that would believe in him and trust in him. New life is available through Jesus. He sends the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul starts planting churches and writing letters to these new churches. And in Romans 12, the Apostle Paul says that our lives are to be living sacrifices. And yet we don't talk about sacrifice. It just seems like it's dissolved from our idea. But Mark, at the very beginning of his gospel, gives us a snapshot of Jesus calling his first followers. And he paints a picture that he wants us to see and understand, and that following Jesus requires sacrifice. When we were in Tennessee, before we moved to New York, we just moved into a new house. We just finished out a basement room. We just finished a deck, and I had a pretty killer man cave in the basement. It was beautiful. Now I have a man drawer in New York City. Following Jesus requires sacrifice. What is Jesus calling you to sacrifice to be his follower? Is it time? Is it sleep? Is it money? Is it comfort? Is it family? I'll never forget the first time I ever flew anywhere to preach. I thought it was big stuff. I was in Kingsport, Tennessee. Anybody from Kingsport here this morning? East Tennessee. And I was preaching at this Disciple Now, and we were in this indoor go-kart track, and I was leaned up against the fence, and this mom came up to me. And she just began to talk to me, and as she talked, tears began to well up in her eyes. And she said, my 9-year-old little girl thinks that God is calling her to be a foreign missionary. And she's just sharing this with me, and she says, I've told her that maybe she could just be a doctor and go on short-term medical mission trips. You know what Jesus says to that? He says, get behind me, Satan. Look, we are in this moment together. And we're in God's word, and you're here at Union University, and many of you are going to have your hearts stirred to go to the nations for Jesus. It's going to happen. But some of the greatest resistance that you're going to face is going to be your family from obeying Jesus, from making a sacrifice to go to a hard place. There's hard places all over this world that desperately need the light and the love of Jesus. And God's gonna call dozens of you to go, but many of you are gonna hit resistance. Dear friends, listen, following Jesus requires sacrifice. And sometimes it's the sacrifice of letting go of your family's approval. Sometimes it's the sacrifice of just moving far away from family that love you so dearly, that can help babysit your four kids. And so I just want to say to you here and right now, I know as this semester unfolds and as your time at Union University unfolds, and as you continue to engage in your relationship with Jesus, he's going to send you out on mission and you're going to make a difference in this world. You're going to have a huge impact in this world. And for some of you, he's going to call you to give your life, not just a go trip, but to give your life to go as a missionary. But you're going to hit resistance. And following Jesus requires sacrifice. What's our motivation? Well, it's love for Jesus. He modeled this sacrifice for us, didn't he? He gave his life. He gave his life. And as we see how God's love was shown through Jesus going to the cross for us and paying the penalty for our sin and tasting the wrath of God for us, our heart is stirred in love where we want to obey Jesus and we want to make sacrifice. The essence of sacrifice is that it costs us something. It's painful. And so I say to that mom, and I say to anybody that would stand in your way from following Jesus and from being on mission with Jesus, just get behind me, Satan. Because our loyalty and our allegiance is to Jesus. Well, this is a good word from God's word, isn't it? He's interested in ordinary people, right? You might go through the whole rush system this year and nobody wants you, but Jesus wants you. Jesus wants you. And you might go through the whole rush system and everybody wants you, but I just ask you today, like, are you more impressed by the popularity of the school or by the fact that the King of Kings wants you? And what he wants is a relationship with you. So Jesus, he calls us into fellowship. So let's not fill our lives with Jesus stuff, but let's really engage in fellowship. And the promise that we saw in the word this morning is when we engage in fellowship, he sends us out on mission. I hope he sends you out on mission on this campus and in this city, on go trips, into the ends of the earth. And what we see in this text is that following Jesus requires sacrifice. It's going to cost us something. It's going to be painful to go. So what do we do with all this? What do we do with all this? We obey immediately. We obey immediately. You can kind of hear this and think, okay, I'll file that away. But obey immediately. For some of you, it may mean that when you get done with chapel today, you get on the phone and you call a friend who you spent all summer with, who you know doesn't know Jesus, and the Spirit prompted you to share your story of grace with them, and you call them and say, I'm so sorry that I didn't share with you this summer the most important thing in my life. That would be immediate obedience for some of you. You're walking with Jesus. He's sending you out on mission. For others of you, it's Friday. As soon as the application comes in, you're filling out the Go Trip application, and you've got it in on Monday before any of the other information comes out. For some of you, it means I'm going to go to the luncheon at 11:30 in the cafeteria and hear more about New York City. We'd love for you to come and be a part of that. What does it mean? It's so easy when you're a college student to obsess about what God's will is for my life, isn't it? It's like, what does God want for me? Well, we saw clearly following Jesus means fellowship with Jesus, being sent out on a mission with Jesus, and being willing to sacrifice for Jesus. So obey immediately. Let's do what we know immediately. Don't delay. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Don't halfway obey. Partial obedience is disobedience. I want to pray for you, and it's been great being with you, digging into God's word this morning, so let's bow our hearts in prayer. But Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this great challenge, Lord. And we pray for the grace, dear God, that we may be faithful followers of Jesus, enjoying rich fellowship with Jesus and being sent out on mission. Lord, I pray for these students, and God, I pray that you would literally send them all over this world for you, and I pray that you'd send them all over this city for you. That they would be bold and brave and that they would go for you and make sacrifice. And Lord, we pray you'd give us an urgency today to obey immediately. God, thank you for your word and thank you for this challenge. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.